You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
tell people
who you're gonna turn to next.
Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah, get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is?
What's with your life?
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity. Because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world.
Yeah, man, I still have remnants of what jumped on me a few weeks ago. And I'm quite sure you know, if you don't, someone who does. Yep, it's just that tough. Good morning, African world. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotel Family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day today. Getting a chance to do all the things that you want to do, should do, must do, can do, will do, hoping to the weather, which is about to be trippy. I mean, it's been warm. I think they wrote a number of seasonal February records of warmth. And now they're about to plunge into a serious cold in the next couple of days. I mean, serious cold. Up in north area, coming out of Canada, you know, single digits, even getting down into the teens down this way. It is what it is. It is climate
change. This call may be recorded or transcribed.
It is climate change, family, and that's things that are some of the things that happen during climate change. You'll experience weather extremes. You know, that's how it goes. And considering the fact that we've already had some tripped out weather, it's always possible that we'll have some serious hot days this summer. Last summer, the records were broken. And this summer, they can be broken again. I think what perplexes me is, is why the, well, I know why, because there ain't no damn coming together of the human family. There is no human family, okay? That's why I'm advocating for Africans to do for themselves. We have been manipulated, undermined, scrutinized, taken advantage of consistently, historically. So no family, it ain't them and us together. No, it's us. And it's imperative that we get our stuff together, that we come back home and manage the land and the resources, kicking everybody's ass out. You hear what that cracker said? He ain't the only one. There are many others who believe that Africa, you know, in fact, to me, that was some bullshit, what that dude said from Blackwater, Prince, Eric Prince. Because it's been happening for decades. I think he's just trying to be funny, knowing that all along, yeah, we should colonize the whole thing because, you know, they're incapable. Always said this, you know, when you think about that, you think about They sat at our feet in Kemet. They sat at our feet in Timbuktu. They sat at our feet many times. They witnessed the great wonders of us doing things, even in spite of segregation, Jim Crow, lynchings, terror, intimidation. We still. So I can give less than what I can give less than a rat's ass what white folks, Europeans, Caucasians, Urugu can care less what they have to say about any damn thing. About anything. I have developed over a time a serious hatred, a deep-seated hatred. And I've always said I don't hate any man. I have an understanding and a love for humanity, but I hate the systems that Europeans have created for themselves, and other people wish they could do the same and continue to dog us out, ostracize us, Indians, Asians. Arabs, Caucasians. That's what we have to do, family. You know what we have to do. Let's do it. There is no choice. We have no other choice. We have to do this. We have to do this for ourselves. If we don't, we may cease to exist. We may cease to exist. Yeah, let me do my thing here. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on TimeForAnAwakening.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to your or to this program live, you can always go to our archives at TimeForAnAwakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programs that we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. These are Eastern times. Tomorrow night, Thursday, from 7 to 8, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement. Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club from 7 to 8, Mississippi on the Move. On Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Sometimes I always like to go into the full thing there and try to, you know, help us understand. It is tough. It really is. But to help us understand how important it is that we support one another, that we truly do buy black, that we truly do buy black. Yeah. Yep. And so, man, a little emotional for it right now, kind of hitting me. I guess because I'm seeing all these things that are happening, and I don't see the kind of force for our people coming together from an African-centered perspective and then saying this is the move we're going to make. I I guess I'm so idealistic, you know. It is what I believe should happen. You know, it's what I believe should happen and how it should happen. You know, yeah. So, we'll see. Okay, let me continue on here, brothers and sisters. Let me continue on. Brother Bomani Tayemba of Africa for the Africans.org. He has a trip upcoming. It is next month. Yeah. I went past it. How did I do that? Okay. Okay, there you go. I tell you, sometimes I just get a little wild with it. You know what I'm saying? March 29th to April 9th, Liberia and Morocco. July 11th to July 23rd, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azinha. April 1st to April 11th, 2025, Senegal and Gambia. May 24th, June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 21st, December 1st, 2025, Brazil. And those are some of the trips that you can take advantage of by going to African for the Africans. Once again, brothers and sisters, whatever the prices are now, they may change. But if you put your money up right now, whatever that price is, because they're going up and not going down. You know, they're going up, but they're not going down. You'll be locked in at the price that you seen it and put your money down for, whatever price that is. You know, whatever price that is. Africa for the Africans, brothers and sisters. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. And give my brother Bomani Tayemba a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. Africa for the Africans. .org. Habashah Incorporated family. That's right. They're doing things here in the Atlanta area and in Ghana. Habashah stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. And those schools teach us about who we are and what our responsibility is to ourselves. As African people, to our family, to our land. Man, oh man, oh man. Yeah, I got a little emotional, man, you know? I'm frustrated. Because I know, and you would too if you have such love and concern, because you know what should happen, and you see it not happen, and you see what's happening around you, and then you constantly hear these crackers talking about this, that, and the other. You know, like we ain't even there. Kind of remind me of that movies of years ago, like that one time that these crackers at a dinner party and they talking, you know, oh, you know, it's you guys that are liberals, and you guys, you know, and the people, brothers and sisters, are just serving them. In their mindset, they're invisible, just like Ralph Ellison in his book, The Invisible Man. The Caucasians, we are invisible. Oh, we're not. And there's issues with us. They show wish that they could deal with and get rid of us. You know, and I think that's the part that we need to understand, that they would love to eradicate us. Look what they're doing to the Palestinians in Palestine. Look what they've done to other groups. They're the only people on the planet who has exercised genocide. What the Europeans, Jews, who are
so-called who truly are anti-Semitic, because what they're doing to the Palestinians are Semitic. Those European Jews are not Semitic people. But when you have the power, I say who I am. I say it's this. I say it's that. They have been able to beat down people like it ain't nothing. LEDGE. LEDGE stands for land, for the environmental development, for group economics. Brothers and sisters, the LEDGE group, they have 12 projects in 6 different countries with over 170 employed, over 260 members. They deal in 4 areas of human necessity. Of human development, food, water, clothing, and shelter. The LEDGE Group, land for the environmental development, for group economics. Our good brother, the Minister of Wellness, is in East Africa. He's in Kenya. Great pictures he sent back of the revival, I guess you want to call it that. I mean, lots of people, the place is packed. And he has a sister who's interpreting, and he's delivering the word. Delivering the word. So I applaud the Minister of Wellness. I support the Minister of Wellness. It's my pharmacy. That's right, Brother Jabril. Yep, check out Brother Jabril. It's my pharmacy. He has a fine selection of products now. More products and more products. Beautiful. Yep. Brother Jabril and his wife doing great work. And if you want to find out what's going on with Brother Jabril, give him a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Smy Pharmacy. Or you can contact him. Email SMAIFARMACY. SmyPharmacy@gmail.com. The Moses West Foundation. I just can't say enough, brothers and sisters, about the Moses West Foundation and what Moses West does, you know, with the atmospheric water generator. I just found, just talking about some things that are happening water-wise. Mexico is about to experience some serious water problems. Other places on the planet. And to me, under the supervision of Moses West, there should be a serious influx of money and materials to build the AWGs to be placed strategically around the world. It is not the solution. It is a solution. If I can build a machine and place it in your country, in your neighborhood, where you don't have clean water, but you do, because water is in the air. The H2O molecules are in the air. This machine contracts those molecules. It goes through a filterization process. You open the tap, out comes clean water. Clean, usable, drinkable, washing, cooking, you name it. For plants, aquaponics, whatever. Proven. It's not a hypothesis. This is a fact. Brothers and sisters, support the Moses West Foundation. Water must be free. We must have free water.
I tell you. Well, Dada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here in the Atlanta area. I'm Ralph Dibbert Abernathy. With Dada's, every Saturday and Sunday, they have vegan food, all kinds of good stuff they have at Wadada's, the Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End. Oh, man. I know I'm sounding on a low, but I really, my spirits are up. They really are, I guess, because I'm witnessing what I'm witnessing, and I'm like, damn, this is crazy. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia and her good work in the Greenbrier Mall. She has a fine selection of books and postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, gift certificates, you name it, and so much more. She has space downstairs from the bookstore where there can be book signings and presentations and so forth. So Mama Nia, give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore that we promote is Brother Kazimde Ajamu at the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore in Lithonia. That's east of here, right off of I-20. You take I-20 going east, take exit 74, make a left. Now you're going north. And about a mile, over a mile, on the left, you'll see the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, where they serve delicious Cameroon Boyo. Give Brother Kazimde a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There's light in the Black Dot. And then jump back in your ride. Head back in the opposite direction. You were going north. Now you're going south. So you're going to make a left again so you can go east. The next exit east is exit 75. You take that exit, turn a hill road, make a right. Three lights, make a right. And on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. That's right, the new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. They have their tomorrow night, their Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night. From 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. On your computer, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. You can listen to the program that way. Or you can dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And you can listen to the program that way. And you can give questions, comments, or concerns because you'll be in the queue. And you hit start twice and bam, there you go. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia. That's Brother Abijah. And believe me, man, his place has got it going on, man. Every bit of the place has got something happening. They got furniture, clothing, beauty products, jewelry, incense, CDs, DVDs, pictures, fashions. I don't know. Even a vegan restaurant on the premise. That's right. He's got it all. Check out Brother Bija. Give him a call. He's open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Give him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Right on. Sun Goddess Essentia, one-stop natural shop located in Forest Park, Georgia. 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Please give my good sister, Shelly Amundsen, a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. And Sanjay-Aiti, Sanjay, SONJE-AYITI.org. Sanjay-Aiti, the brothers and sisters in Haiti rely on us. There is no government handout. There are no government programs. They rely on us. They're in the northeastern portion, close to the border between Haiti and the Dominican Republic. And they're doing great work. Great work. So check them out, okay? All right, family. Ackerman House, Ackerman Institute. Ackerman Institute, of course, is the school. Ackerman House is the publishing company where you can get all the books and so forth that Baba Baruti and Mama Ya put out. Yep. So if you want to check out or make a, if you want to make a donation to Ackerman Institute, go to PayPal. Go to PayPal. Put in yabaruti.com. Go to Cash App, $YA, letter M, Baruti, for Cash App. And, of course, ackermanhouse.com. ackermanhouse.com for the many books that this brother puts out. I mean, many books. And he has to be independent because what he's sending out, what he's writing, that's right. Makes other folks scour. That's right. I need to get some new batteries. That's what I need to do for this light. You know, I need light, family. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. February 27th. Be careful how you touch her, for she'll awaken, and sleep is the only freedom that she knows. New birth. New birth. And cry, because she's a lady. Let it dream, for she is a child. Let the rain drops fall upon her. She's a free and gentle flower, growing wild. Great song, isn't it? You know it. Healers absorb the kinds of pain that easily tear others apart. Take it in without concern for the damage it may do to them, because they know that eventually they will heal. They are altruistic, spiritual, and communal by nature. They know that there is no such thing as a healthy community if any individual within it is ill and are in pain. They help to release the anguish of a community at its roots. You can literally see the selfless absorption of others' hurt, anxiety, discomfort, frustration, fear, disease, and trauma through the magic of their caress and prayer. They touch, and through that touch and a warming insistence, they relieve us of wave after wave of compacted senseless agonies. They so easily take on its weight as we release that which ails us inside. They touch our mind, our heart, our soul, opening up the pores and extracting the illness expelled, enveloping it and suffocating it within altruistically sacrificed love. They are our miracle workers, whose calling is in return a healthy balance to us in our efforts to be African. Certainly, there is a cost to them. Healing others places a drain on their soul, on their physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual energies. No matter their level of commitment or engagement, healing others is always a massive spiritual sacrifice. And because of this, they must daily complete in personal rituals which keep them whole, for regardless of their powers, they are still human. They cannot continue healing others without healing themselves. And because we need healing, we must protect them and provide them with whatever they need to do this priceless work. Ashe. Great sacrificial work. Affirm, I ensure our healers healing peace. I ensure that our healers receive healing peace. February 28th. When an African man has his lady, he has everything. It's pronounced B.B. Kang. This is not B.B. King. It's B.B. Kang. Okay? And it's not a black man. A black man has his lady. Because a black man might have a white woman. And in his mind, he may think he has everything because he got a white woman. No. It's when a black man, it's when an African man has his African lady, he has everything. B.B. Kang. That's right, family. B.B. Kang. Knowing that we're nothing without our warrior queen and everything with them, the time has come for frontline African men to use all our remembrance and vision to collectively construct a functional, enduring African reality, which will immediately, directly, concretely, and fulfillingly benefit our women. To this end, we must use our thoughts to conceive of an empowered, sacrifice-based, a sacred space wherein our women can be the kind of warriors they were brought here to be. We must use our words to speak into existence an unqualified, uncompromising sovereignty, which without them, we cannot adequately imagine and will never attain. And we must use our mental and physical muscle to complete the task which they identify as being necessary for establishing and securing the kind of deep love, loving, forever establishing and securing the kind of deep, loving African community they intuitively desire and in which they will naturally thrive. While this is a charge to African man, the same applies for the African woman relative to the African warrior man. It's reciprocal. We must do this for each other. When the African man has his woman, he has everything. Affirm, I have everything. Affirm, I have everything. The Inya Sesem of Daily Revolutionary Thought. That's right. You know, we have lots of work to do. And we have a lot of work to do with and for each other. I think that's something that we all recognize. And we're very proud of the fact that we're willing to do this work. You know, this work is very sacrificial. That's what this work is. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brother Kwaku. All right. Right on, my brother. I appreciate you. Appreciate all the family. You know, let me just say this, and I know that I try to come on this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in a good spirit. And even at this time, it's just that some things seen and heard and so forth, you know, and knowing our situation, so it just has me in somewhat of a funk, but I know that I'm going to be fine because we're going to be fine. And I'm positive. You know? I'm positive. You know, I may play some stuff. I may make some things that but I'm positive that we're going to be good.
That's right. Yeah, I got so much stuff, you know, and then I should just say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and then instead of going back and forth, and that's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to find what I'm going to be talking about, and this is Brother Nkosi sent me some stuff, and that I just want to play. And I love Muhammad Ali, and I love Muhammad Ali from the first time that I heard him, and the first time that I seen him. Fell in love with Muhammad Ali. Now, me and my light-skinned, curly-headed brother, a few years older than me, you know, when you live in the hood, and let me be real with you, I never thought that I was anything other than black. I never thought that I was anything special, anything better. Maybe that's why over the many years I've embraced being black a lot harder than most of us who are black who don't want to be black. That's why I'm very fond of the 60s. That is my development. The 60s helped me understand a lot about this world. About theology, sociology, history, the 60s. Just like we remember, and I remember, April 4th, 1968. I remember I was playing ball, didn't hear anything, didn't know nothing. And I had a long walk home. Got home. My mother came down the steps and she was crying. Mama, what's wrong? They had killed Dr. King. That night and subsequent nights, the streets were on fire. The National Guard was sent out later across this country. I remember that. But I also remember February 21st, 1965, 3 years before. I remember being in the car with my mother and my auntie. She's from Chicago. Don't know where we're going, but I remember it was in the mid or late afternoons. On the radio, that he had been killed, he had been assassinated. And it is the time that I was in love with Muhammad Ali. It was the time that me and my brother, who got jumped, paper route and who this, that, and the other, decided to box. And my mother bought us some boxing gloves. Sure did. We took them down to the Salvation Army, went into that locker room because the locker room wasn't being used for anything of significance. And threw them down. Let's go. And some of the cats, they used to be bad. And I thought were bad. And I was scared of. Man, I was ready. I was ready. And then as it progressed, I got into the golden gloves. My brother got into the gloves first because he's older. Man, Muhammad Ali. Yeah. So this is who helped shape me. The environment of the awakening of the 60s, I embraced. The men and the women, the musicians, the entertainers, the writers, I embraced. And I still embrace today. Here's a piece by Muhammad Ali. And he's talking to this British dude, and he's talking about this so-called myth of good white people. You know, because there is no good white people. I played that one piece by Sister Soulja some time ago. Who are these good white people? I would like to meet them. Yeah. Man. I'm not to say that honestly, they're insignificant. They ain't changing nothing. Yeah. They don't change anything. Caucasian still does what he does. The Yoruba still does what they do. The Yoruba will still do what they do.
Say this, there are many white people who mean right and in heart want to do right, but there are so few. If 10,000 rattlesnakes was coming down that aisle now, and I had a door here I could shut, and in that 10,000, 1,000 meant right. 1,000 rattlesnakes didn't want to bite me. I knew they were good. Should I let all these rattlesnakes come down, hoping that 1,000 get together and form a shield? Or should I just close the door and stay safe?
I think that
you understand the Viet Cong are not all bad, but America's still dropping bombs. In Hiroshima, Japan wasn't bad, but she still dropped a bomb. In Korea, they weren't bad, but they still dropped a bomb. So now I'm going to forget the 400 years of lynching and killing and raping and depriving my people of freedom, justice, equality, first fired, last hired, the lowest of low, last respected. And I'm going to look at two or three white people who are trying to do right and don't see the other million trying to kill me. I'm not that big of a fool. I've heard Elijah Muhammad.
I love Muhammad Ali, brothers and sisters. I love Muhammad Ali. In fact, introduced to Muhammad Ali was the braggadocious, the round, I'm going to call it in, you know, playing around. But when he came under the teachings, now, I'm not a big advocate. I know Nation of Islam, Muslims. I know, and later Muhammad Ali left the Nation of Islam and became also a Sunni Muslim. And I know there are other sects of Muslims and so forth. I am not a Muslim, but I have respect for Islam, like respect for other religions. You know? I would say this. The religions that have been imposed upon us
Islam as well, Christianity, all the others, they are not African. They are not African, and they have not benefited Africans. So, yeah. Let's listen to another brother before we go to the break. And that's Malik Shabazz. You know, right before, I don't know, if you have streaming, there was the piece that was MLK/X that was streamed this past few weeks. It's a series. I didn't like how Malcolm was portrayed. I think the brother was good, but he was just too rigid. He was just too stiff. He was just too, you know. And to me, over the many years of listening to and watching and video, you know, Malcolm. I didn't like the way Malcolm was played in the movie with Muhammad Ali and Jim Brown and Sam Cooke in Miami after the big win, you know, in Miami when he took the championship. You know. But, you know, sometimes not everybody can be satisfied. I understand that. You know, but this is a struggle for our mind. Who is going to control the African mind?
50 years ago with nickels and dimes and no education, and come here and pool their little nickels and dimes and set up little stores, develop these stores into larger stores, develop this into an industry which creates job opportunities for whites. And today the black man, according to the government economist, has spending power of $20 billion per year. We feel that with the black man spending $20 billion a year, not setting up any businesses, not creating any industry, not creating any job opportunities for his own kind, he's not in a moral position to point the finger today at the white man and tell the white man that he's discriminating against him for not giving him a job in factories that he himself set up. If the black man has $20 billion and these so-called Negro leaders are such geniuses that they can integrate white restaurants and integrate white factories and integrate, force themselves into that which the white man has set up, they should use this same ingenuity to show the black people how to pool our wealth and set up something of our own. If white immigrants can come to this country 50 years ago with nickels and dimes and no education.
Yeah. What he's saying, and you and I both know, And I know that we've been talking about the wealth of us for many, many decades, the spendable wealth and all this kind of, the reality is there's a small segment of us who have serious wealth. In fact, I'm going to play another piece because there's a small segment of us that does have wealth, you know. I'm going to find it after the break. Let me go to the break. I'm sorry. After the break, we'll come back. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. You stay with us. We'll be right back, family.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Another David Sanborn selection for you.
Yeah. You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Yes. We're going to take your calls, your questions, your comments, and your concerns. David Sanborn. I remember when I first heard David Sanborn, well, way back in the 80s, I was like, man, this is bad, bad white dude. And as I said earlier, you know, you can find some bad Caucasians, you know. They have been able, just like the Koreans, human beings can mimic, you know. But we have been intimidated. We haven't imitated anyway. We are original. We put it out there, you know. That's how we do it. Oh, man, take that stuff away. Let me bring it back. Okay. This sister, I played this sister many times before. I know at least a couple of times before. You know, I played this sister. And she speaks with sincerity about what these Caucasians have done in Africa. And so she's talking about, you know, the history. And some people would love, particularly Caucasians, but us too, to look at that and as a bygone. No, this history is, and it's never stopped. It's never stopped. Give a listen.
As far as I'm concerned, since we met you people 500 years ago, look at us. We've given everything. You are still taking. It's true. I mean, where would the whole Western world be without Africa? Our cocoa, our timber, our gold, our diamonds, our platinum, our whatever. Everything you are is us. I am not saying it. It's a fact. And in return for all of this, what have we got? Nothing. Anti-personnel indoctrination against ourselves. If you go and cook your horrible diseases like AIDS, you say it is us. You brought us tuberculosis. We didn't have this big cough until white people came here, in exchange for Africa giving Europe 500 solid years of our people, I mean, not Europe, the Western world, of our human beings to work your canes, to dig your gold, to take in gold itself, diamond, I mean, you know, fish, peanuts, palm oil, everything, in exchange for that. We have got nothing. Nothing. And you know it. Nothing. And you look upon, you know, white folks look upon us like monkeys. It is true. It's in your literature. Some of your best thinkers have said this about us. Have you heard of all these Germans? Have you heard?
Okay.
Yes. They said Lord Burton, yes. People like that. They said we don't even have the brain of animals. That's what we've got from you people.
But don't you think that this is over now?
Over where? Is it over? Who said that AIDS came from the green monkey? Is it over? Is it over?
Well, if this is your impression, do you think that you can ever forgive us?
It's not a question of forgiveness. I have nothing against you. My point is that you did and you are doing for your survival what is necessary. We can't blame you for that. The fact that we didn't do enough for our own survival and we are still not doing enough for our survival, that is not your problem.
That may not be their problem, but it is who and what they am, who and what they are, you know. So she's right about that. But the problem is that our minds are so whack, and there's no trust, there's no respect, there's no belief in one another, that we're willing to put petty differences aside, get rid of all of that tribalism, mysticism, BS, kick that shit to the curb, and recognize the most important thing that we are is African. All of the so-called 54 sovereign countries ain't about nothing, because they're not. So you being Cameroonian, you being Nigerian, you being Cote d'Ivoirean, you being whatever, don't mean a damn thing. But you being African means everything. And you being African with an African mind is the ultimate. You being African, wanting and willing to work with other Africans to manage the land, to manage our people, to manage our resources, to be players on the world stage instead of pawns, means everything. To establishing an African identity, an African new day in the world, where we compete with everybody else, and if you want something from us, you will get it at fair market value price. It's a damn shame that everybody needs Africa. And Africans, because of how messed up our minds are, don't want to be African. Don't want to work at being African. Don't want to control the wealth of Africa. We want to live in New York and London. We want to live in Atlanta. Be doctors here instead of doctors on the continent. We want to use the African mind that has been developed by Western society to benefit Canada, United States, whatever country, France, England, Germany, Italy, whatever. Yes, brothers and sisters, it is very difficult. It's very sad. But from this from this bully pulpit I have here, this is what I'll be saying for the rest. For the rest.
let me play this piece. I mentioned the fact that Africa is not overpopulated. I know we lost 6 million Congolese in the last decade or two. 6 million through conflicts and war, through famine. I just said that if any place where an African man who has developed a machine that can provide water, now I know he's not African-centered, but he's still African. And he understands that his machine needs to be on the African soil. He does. So I'm saying that countries on the continent, and if they could pull resources and say, hey, we need 10 of these. He needs to be able to develop these machines just like an assembly line family. Let's be real. If I need water today, I need water today. If I needed water yesterday, I need water today. You know. And so the Moses West Foundation, as I continue to say, it is not the solution, it is a solution. Maybe another part of the solution is new wells, new pipes, new this, new that. But there's no doubt about it that water creation through the atmospheric water generating system will help. So they talked about, no, Africa's overpopulated. I sent a piece out and read a piece on this program a year or two ago. No, it is not. It is underdeveloped. It is underdeveloped. And the fact that Africa, potentially, because it has one of the youngest populations on the planet, it has a better future than other places around the world. And if Africa had control of its resources, control of its land, and so forth, that potential could be realized. Here's a Caucasian kid speaking on a TED Talk. Some of the exact same things that I said, read, and said just a moment ago.
And unlike many countries in the West, including Britain, Africa is not saddled with debt. The British debt is 87% of the British GDP, while the African debt is only 9% of their GDP. All but two countries in Africa could pay off their debt within 1 year. So the potential is already there, and the growth is already beginning. Even now, Africa is the continent in the world with the fastest economic growth. The GDP per capita of sub-Saharan Africa is expected to rise by 800% from 2020 to 2050. Anyone who doubts Africa can make quick economic progress like this should look at the economic history of the US. In 1977, the US economy was the same size as the African economy is today. And since then, the American economy has grown by a massive $18.419 trillion. And with Africa having more natural resources than the US, its progress in the next 40 years could be even more spectacular. So if you're someone here today who thinks Africa will never catch up with the rest of the world, I want to say that you will be proved wrong. With its mammoth population, massive potential, and amazing stores of resources, within your lifetime, Africa will become an economic superpower. Thank you.
And that's the same thing that that the article brought out. because of the youth and its potential and the resources. Human resources are, I mean, yes, you could have all the natural resources, but you need human resources to bring that out, don't you? Exactly. And Africa has the human resources. Brothers and sisters, we're at the precipices of greatness for Africa. We can take hold of it if we let go the past. Not our past in terms of looking at our past and culture, but our past in terms of our ignorance, our selfishness, our greediness, our willingness to listen to Europeans at the expense of Africa. Let go all of that and embrace the Africa to be, the Africa to come, the Africa that will be a major player in the world. That we take a backseat to no one. It is in our hands. It is our destiny. It could happen. It could happen. The reason why it may not happen because we have been whitewashed and we can't wash it off of us. The whitewash is just all up in us, all through our mind, all through our brains. We can't seem to step outside of the imposed boundaries that Caucasians, Europeans, Urugu have placed upon us. We can't release the vice grip that the European has on our minds. Some of us don't even know how. They don't recognize the vice grip, the tool itself, with the knob at the end of the handle to turn the knob to release the pressure. Because once you set the pressure, you just can't open it up. You got to release that pressure. You got to release that tension. That vice grip is set. Unreleasing the pressure is the knowledge of self, the confidence that we have in ourselves, the belief that we have in ourselves. And the more we talk about and the more we embrace it, the more we learn, the more we do, the more we... Man. Brother Ted, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Baba Oshie. How are you today?
Man, I'm hanging in there, brother.
I hear you. You know, I want to speak, I guess, metaphysically, if I can. I want to go beyond the physical into the world of abstraction, in that speculative reasoning that maybe that we should do. Look, we know we are at war. So the question that I have is, how do we, as individual warriors, how do we go about using the bomb in Gilead, quote unquote, to heal our
sin sick
mind? You know, what is that proverbial ointment, or what are those proverbial ointments or medicines that could be used to empower ourselves to get through this? Yes, we have been scarred, we have been injured. Right? We suffer a heck of a lot of damages. So certainly there's something that we have to do, to start to do. And I know you have this programming that's done every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Of course, there are others as well on the Black Talk Radio Network. And listening is one for those who are auditory in nature. There are others, though, who are kinesthetic, who really need to be doing something, right? And be actively engaged in things, right? There are those visual learners who can put up all of the artwork and kind of get into the background, so to speak, and blend in. But I'm curious to know, what should those ointments, those medicines be for us to be able to pull ourselves, to empower ourselves to go on much more, right? Because, I mean, being at war isn't anything. It is very, very belaboring, right? Mm-hmm. It works on your mind. It works on your heart. It works on your soul. And you just need to be able to find ways to take care of oneself. And if one is doing it, and hopefully you can get others to do it, and even more so, there could be a re-galvanization. But I'm just kind of curious, what is it that you use? What is it that you think we should use as individual warriors to come up from this war that we're in?
One, I think that we need collaboration with ourselves. I think that that would be important instead of trying to figure things out alone, you know, saying I can just handle this. I can read to myself. I can attend meetings, functional stuff here and there. But to me, I think that through an organizing effort that we develop and we say, this is the model that we need. This is not, not allowing Europeans in. This is strictly us.
Right.
You know, this is something that we need to purge ourselves of ignorance, superstition, purge ourselves of all the self-hatred and so forth. And we've done this now. We'll do this now collectively. And so once we have done that and we're working towards collectively working together, talking about a project here, a project there, a school here, developing a business here where we can employ like-minded brothers and sisters, you know. So I think it's in the doing. I think theoretically we all know. I mean, we've been talking about what we're talking about for a long time, you know.
Okay.
When are we going to put things into practice? And to me, the first thing has to be development of the African mind in the right direction. That's the major thing. That is the major thing that Africans must think African, be African, trust Africans, love Africans, willing to work with other Africans. And because we have been trained to believe that we cannot, you know, so many of us don't even try. Many of us believe that to be the case, that we cannot do it. You know, it is not for us. You know, there's that one joke about when a person gets to the heavenly gates, and he said, "I can ask you a question, and if I, you know, can't get the answer, I'll go through the gates." And of course, the question was, when are black people going to come together? So the question couldn't be answered. So the person went through the heavenly gates, you know. But that's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true. Because when black people come together, we get the hell out of the space of white people. We'll never come together as long as we're in their space.
Yes.
That's the problem. And allow them to be in our business. You know, so that's my contention, is that these things will begin to manifest when we release the vice grip,
that's on our minds. When we step outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have imposed upon us and placed us in, to think outside of those things, to think African, to believe in ourselves, to believe in each other, to trust one another, to respect one another.
Yes.
To love, yes. To love our women. Just like when I read the Inyasisim, I emphasized, you know, when an African man, not a black man, has his lady, he has everything. Because he can be a black man who loves his white woman.
Okay.
He doesn't have everything. Because he doesn't have the African family. He has rejected the African family. Because the African family is an African man, an African woman with African children.
Okay, I agree.
And what is solid is the African man, the African woman, and African children working together for family, educating one another, believing in one another. We don't have that. We don't have that the way we need to have it. No, we got some black folks around here. You know, I make a distinction between black and African.
Okay.
Black, they are part of one and wanting to be part of what America is about. They want the money. They want the jobs. They want the materialism. They want the cars. That's somebody who is black. They're apt to say, "I got mine."
Okay.
I got mine. So you get yours, and if you don't get yours, it's your fault. Because look it, I made it, and my friend over here, he's made it. But you whining and crying. Because the bottom line is, we don't want to make it like that. That's not what we mean by making it. To me, making it is now being in an environment where there is love, where there is respect, where there's trust, where we care for one another. We care for our women. We care for our elders. We care for our children. We care for our environment. That's making it.
Okay. Very good.
You know?
Very good.
See?
Yes.
So, I mean.
And that's something that you wouldn't think that this isn't hard to do.
No.
It would be hard to do. But I guess being caught up with material things, caught up with.
Well, see that
internet,
right?
With different platforms, one can literally just split themselves apart, and so there is an explosion and a kind of explosion I see of sorts. That there's no way to try to get it all back together again. Of course, you can't really once you break a mirror, you can't put it all back together again.
Right.
So the
irony is, it's easy, but it's extremely hard. The contradiction in that is ridiculous, but it is. Because all it is how do I view myself? How do I view my people? How do I view Africans? How do I view the potential that we have? How do I view that? And if my view of that is contrary, how did I get that?
Okay.
Where did I get that from? Why can't I think and look at that as something to embrace? Something to even fight for? As opposed to the material things. The nice car. The nice clothes. things that you see on TV, the parties, the dinners, the award shows, this, that, and the other, all these material things.
Okay.
The movies. This is the entrapment. The bottom line is, and there's no doubt about it as far as I'm concerned, it's always been that way even since I woke in the 60s. We got to get up out of here. This is not for us. This is not meant for us. Yes, we can be in it, and us being in it, we have provided great things. The entertainment, the cool, the sports, the music, and so forth. You know, even in the theology, you know, the black church and its music and its preaching, you know, as opposed to that stiff, dry-ass shit that they... But, you know, I understand what we provide for this, but that's a hell of a trade-off because at the expense of our humanity.
Yes.
At the expense of our family, our personhood. These,
well, Bobby,
yes.
Thank you so very much, and I want to. There will probably serve other callers, but thank you so very much for entertaining my question.
Listen,
and,
brother,
and
thank you for the
work in progress, brother. It is such a work in progress.
Yes, it
and
is.
I'm sure that, yes, and it's just something just has to be done, and not really worry so much about failure. I think that's the other issue too.
Yeah.
Right. Because of external forces defining what failure is. That we've become absorbed in that definition when maybe we shouldn't even think about or in light of failure.
No,
at
the
all.
Hell with failure. We're not going to fail. We got to continue to try. We got to continue to move forward. We got to continue to build and look at what hasn't been done or how it hasn't been done and what needs to be done or how we can make it. That's the thing. And it's a constant process. You know, we didn't get in this madness overnight, and we sure in the hell ain't gonna get out of it overnight. But goddamn it, we have to struggle to get out of it. This is a struggle for the African mind. It's a struggle. Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you, so brother, my brother Lusk. Thank you, man.
Peace.
Yeah, brother Ted Lusk family. That was a good, I mean, sometimes you got to think, family. Sometimes you got to go. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832 if you're in the queue already. Hit star twice so you can join this conversation. Hit star twice. Because the number of you are in at least seven. Wow. So, I don't know, sometimes people just want to listen, and I understand that. But this is our struggle, family, for the African mind. You know, I read that article about where we are and the fact that our population is not something that we need to look at disparagingly, that we have too many people and that some of us need to be, you know. In fact, what was ironic? The same time I read that was also the same time, went around the same time I saw that TED Talk, I guess it is, with Bill Gates talking about we have developed vaccines for population control. For population control. Caucasians who have been experiencing negative population production for decades. For decades. But yet they're talking about controlling population. Well, it ain't no problem because y'all dying off, right?
Oh, you look at
me. Hey, Jay, how are you?
I'm hanging tough, baby. How you doing?
I'm well. I'm doing cool. I'm hanging in there too, brother.
What the white man done did now?
Well, he does what he does. You know?
Did he ever not do something?
Right. He does what he does. You know, his whole thing is death, domination, and destruction. You know, that's what his whole thing is. Death, domination, and destruction.
And you know, the Negro doesn't understand that, it seems.
No, because we have always been a people, even prior to our contact with Caucasians, to develop in a harmonious way with nature, with other people, to develop. You know, so ours was never like, well, we got to control those who are outside of us. We got to control them. We got to eliminate them. You know, we have to take from them. You know, I can't speak of the mentality today, but I know historically that hasn't been us. You know, when I look at, and believe me, I've read, I've studied African culture. You know, we weren't, yes, there were conflicts, but wasn't to the point that we wanted to wipe somebody out. You know, just to clear, genocide was not something that we, well, let's wipe the whole damn group of these people out, men, women, and children, hell, even kill the cattle. Y'all read that in the Bible.
Well, you know that's the nature. That's the nature of the Yorugu, is that he's barbaric, mm-hmm. and animalistic on every level. He doesn't have any type of compassion at all, and he deals strictly in death.
Yeah,
he has a serious death culture.
Yeah.
And
he has a death wish.
Over all of these years that he's been around the Africans, he's never been able to tame that behavior while dealing with African people. And for some reason, we as a people and a culture don't understand that. And we pick up some of the same traits. You know, like they had an incident here in New York the other day where this brother didn't give another brother a free $2 cigarette, and the brother killed him.
Killed him over a cigarette.
Just killed him because he wouldn't give him a cigarette. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens is he runs away. He gets away for a couple of days, but then they catch him. And for the next 25 years, he's in a cage being absolutely psychologically abused, right. And maybe physically abused,
right.
And all of that over a 10-second reaction of nothing. Yeah. You know, it just goes to show the mentality that we pick up from this Yoruba. You know,
let me just say this, because you know, I remember as a child, I'm over 70 years old, so my memory of a child is the 50s and into the early 60s. 60s, I would say I grew up. The 60s is why I am the way I am in terms of loving Africa, the 60s. But in the 50s, when I was growing up, I remember a few things, because I was born in the early 50s, so the middle of the late 650s, I remember a few things, you know. And then I was working at this firehouse, and they had stored newspapers, and they were doing some cleaning. And so I got these newspapers, and I was the officer, so I was just chilling in my office going through them. And I came upon a story of a brother who killed this other brother, you know, for a sweater, because he wouldn't let him borrow his sweater. So the same thing. We have been doing this to each other for decades. As long as we are in contact with these people, as long as we follow these people, this is our behavior. This is our mindset. That's why I'm saying this whole struggle is for us to free the African mind. When I close this program or open this program, I'm always talking about the African mind. It is, all the time. That's what it is. We are in a war for the African mind. And these people, how they make us, yes, they make us behave and think the way they do because it is theirs. They're in control. They're in control of the narrative and the imagery. And so what we want to do is be a part of it. We don't want to separate from it. We want to be a part of it because we've been encouraged to be. All the while, we're being alienated. I know that's foolish. I know that's crazy. But that's how crazy it is.
Yeah, well, it's a system that's in place, I believe, to keep us on a barbaric course, and we just don't realize it. I mean, there's just so many things put in front of us that a large majority of us don't realize that it's not beneficial to us as a people. I mean, you know, it's like Bobby Wright used to say, this cracker gonna give you things that are not good for you, and for some reason, you gonna accept them. You can't accept what's evil and what's not righteous and what's not humane and think you're gonna move forward as a people. It's just not possible, man. We have to change our total thinking in regards to how we deal with one another. If we could do that, I think we could move forward. But if we continue on this path, it's not going to get no better because, to be honest with you, the challenges that we are facing moving forward in this country is going to take us working collectively with one another because, as I say, this white boy not playing with us.
No.
This Yoruba is not playing with us. Because the thing that we don't understand is he's at his demise and he has to do everything in his power to be able to sustain himself and keep himself in power. That's why he's doing all these draconian things to get his people to make babies, but that's just not going to happen. They're not going to make enough babies to solve their problem. And that's what they don't understand. If anything, they're doing nothing but putting nails in their coffins because you got to remember, white women have achieved over the last 50-some years a degree of freedom. Now, they're trying to do everything possible to take away freedom from black people and other people of color, which in a sense affects white women. Hopefully, white women will wake up and realize what's being done and do the right thing. But understanding whiteness, I don't expect it to happen.
I don't either. In fact, following Caucasian means us following them to our death, to our demise. You know, I'm of the contention of that everything that Caucasians bring, we reject. I don't give a damn what it is. We reject it. You know, we carve our own path. We carve the path of African redemption, African self-actualization, Africans coming into their own into this 21st century. I would, you know, I hope I'm here for the next 6 years to see Africa 2023. You know, not 2023, 2030. Look at, see what it is 2030. And then I hope to go beyond that. I know they said you know, they're supposed to promise you 70, which is 70 years. But I would love to get 40. And just get 40, if I can get 40 and plus, 40 and plus, you know. So that would give me a good idea of what that future might hold. And my grandsons would be young men. They would probably have some children. I could see my great-grandchildren. I would see other things. But more importantly for me, I would see myself on the continent. I would see the continent changing. Because this is their shit. America is theirs, you know.
Well, I tell you this, Oshi, when you talk about the continent changing, that's going to be an interesting dilemma based on how does it change and what role it will change. Because I'm a believer that the American Negro could have the greatest influence on change in Africa than any other people. But it has to be the right American Negro. It has to be the African that puts forward the change in Africa and lead it to what it should be. It's not going to be.
Thank you.
This capitalistic Negro.
Thank you.
He has the tools to
it's
change
not gonna
it.
Be. No, it's not going to be.
But he
no.
doesn't have the cultural
right.
understanding to
no.
give Africa what it
exactly.
needs.
Exactly. So no, it won't be no Negroes. You know.
In order for it to happen, we have to figure out how we can collectively come together to find some place where we could work in concert with an African government and build it as an example and a direction of how to move forward. And the key thing is we have to prepare ourselves to defend it to the death.
Ashe. Okay, Jay. Appreciate you, man.
All right.
You have a good
Appreciate
day.
Appreciate you.
All right, brother. Peace. Brothers and sisters, this has been a beautiful day. I know I've been a kind of emotional, I guess, because I, you know, sometimes I'm just, we need to be more forceful. We need to be more visionary. We need to articulate that vision consistently. You know, our path and our vision and our direction is not here. It's not here. And for some of it, that's hard because there are some of us who say even say, well, this country is just as much ours as it is anybody else. Look what we've done. We were enslaved for many, many, many years. We helped fight the Indians too. And we fought in all the wars this country has had. We've in the government and we help make legislation and just, I'm saying, brothers and sisters, this has never been yours. This will never be yours. And you should not want it. You have a homeland. You are blessed. You are blessed with a homeland that has natural resources, more resources than any place on the planet. You have a place where just like what happened in Saudi Arabia, just like what happened in Saudi Arabia, you sit on the world resources that can change the dynamic and change the environment, just like it did in Abu Dhabi, just like it did in Dubai, just like it is done in other parts of Arabia,
where they don't even have to work. They have to import help because they're so damn rich. You have that kind, you sit on that kind of wealth. But more importantly, you have the ability to adapt and to grow and to be a model in the world. And to provide resources for the world at fair market value price. Brothers and sisters, we have that potential. Let us come together to embrace it, to realize it. Let's begin to love ourselves. Sincere love for each other and trust and willing to work together. Ashe. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants that can't do without and show and hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. B40 means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a blessed day. Hope to see you on Friday, family. Peace.